Yeah, don't get us wrong. There's still going to be plenty of randomness to the show.
Of course. That's the name of the show. The other name is Off Topic.
But this is football.
What you want? We got a mighty combination, but it makes your rage glisten. Our voice is about the games. And you know we talk about the latest goings, more so than any other, and our Mountain West matters. Well, will you listen to this podcast too? And you rant about this podcast too. Just a site where Jeremy analyzes some matches and kiss between the bridges. We do some good interviews. And you know from Fresno all the way to Boise, from Logan down to Aston, they're calling out our name. Where will you listen to this podcast too?
Welcome to the latest Mountain West Connection Show, Week 13 Preview. Check us out at MWCConnection.com. Same thing on Twitter, MWC Connection. Chris is laughing in the background, also on Facebook, because of a slight change of the show this tonight.
I will never forgive myself, ever.
We'll take your feedback if you like it, hate it. We'll mix it up, so you won't know always what it's going to be. We'll mix it up, though.
We'll mix it up. We'll eventually record new songs where I feel better. No, that's a lie. They're still going to be just as bad as this one.
You mean awesome?
I mean awesome. I totally mean awesome. And not horribly cheesy in any sort of fashion.
Of course, no, that song never. It's like a karaoke everything but he does every night, at least twice.
Right? Exactly.
Of course. So, having said that, let us know what you think of the new song. Hate it or like it, it'll be there for at least probably another 2 months or so. At least until the end of the season, but we decided to mix it up, and let's hop into games. We've got 6 games. It's late night when we're recording this now. Almost morning time for half the world, probably.
Almost morning time for you.
5 minutes, it'll be past midnight, so yes, we're recording this very late, because thanks for the Thursday game, Commish, or ESPN, whoever wants to handle that. But the first game, Thursday...
It's Wednesday. Oh, Thursday. Oh, game. Football. Yes, let's go.
Yeah, we're going to try to crack through this because I'm tired a little bit. But Thursday, 9:30 Eastern, UNLV at Air Force on ESPNU. So no extra bonus for you guys, but you're on ESPNU. And it could be an interesting game.
Bowl game scenario. That's my bowl game scenario.
Our song for that. So when we talk about teams trying to clinch, you'll make that sound.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that's the funny thing I saw. I was reading more of the Las Vegas papers. They go, this is not an unfamiliar place for UNLV to clinch a bowl game or to be in a position for a bowl game. I took a minute. I took about 4 minutes to laugh, made sure to read the title again, and yes, that's what it said. Something along the lines like UNLV, basically saying it's a familiar position.
Who wrote that, Grainy?
I'm trying to find out real quick. I think it's Las Vegas Sun. Let me pull it up and say. I remember.
Oh, it's the Las Vegas Sun. It's not the Review Journal.
Maybe I read it wrong, but it's late. Let me look and see. That's what I thought.
What do you mean it's not in a position? Of course it's in a damn position.
They haven't had the chance since like 2003, I believe.
They haven't been. Yeah, they haven't been bowl eligible since 2003. They haven't made a bowl since 2000. We talked about this last Sunday. But let's talk about this game. They're on the road versus Air Force. It's going to be cold, but Air Force is horrible.
Except for
Anthony Lacoste. But see, UNLV has Tim Cornette.
Uh-huh.
Yes, they do. And Caleb Herring.
And Devontae Davis.
They've got a pretty formidable force of offense if they can use it.
For the most part. Yeah, if they can use it.
And they did use it. They used it against Utah State a couple weeks ago, and they, happened to miss out with the last 16 seconds. And we were very saddened by that.
Yeah, well, that's what happens. when you're UNLV.
There's nothing that we can really do about that.
They've been trying for a bowl game. This isn't like week one or the first week. They've lost their last two games. They've been trying to San Jose State, Utah
clinch for the last 2 weeks, yeah.
Or last two games for them, I should say.
And they've lost to two teams who are probably going to be bowl eligible. They're decent teams.
Well, they are. Utah State is.
Well, Utah State is. San Jose State, how did they choke last week versus Nevada? But anyway.
Nevada showed up. That's what happened.
And it's all thanks to Brian Polian.
Yes, because he's keeping the theme of the offense, which is his vision, right?
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, it's late at night, and I'm in a kind of ranty mood.
Oh, that's fine. Hey, that's perfectly all right. Okay, then I'm trying to find that thing really quick. If I go find it, maybe I...
We'll see. While he's going through that, I'll just kind of talk about this game. So, Air Force, Carson Roberts, I think, is starting this game.
Nate Romine.
Nate Romine.
He's also likely the future starter going forward.
Oh, totally the future starter, and actually has looked pretty good. I mean, 34 for 57 in his time as the quarterback, 462 yards, 4 touchdowns. You may think that's not a lot, but remember, this is an Air Force offense that is triple option, which is extremely run heavy. So the fact that he's putting this up, the stats, in maybe, what, two or three games as the starter now, it's looking pretty good. And so, I mean, along with that fact, you do have Anthony Lacoste, who had an amazing game, and then last week he had a decent game. We talked about this a little bit on the recap last week. But 21 attempts, 177 yards. Okay, a lot more than.
All right, let me step right now. You know how you said the Las Vegas Review Journal is the superior paper in Las Vegas?
I think the Las Vegas Review Journal is the superior.
Okay, let me read you a few select things about saying, here's the title, bowl eligible or not, let's wait before we coronate Hauk. Coronate? What is that?
Coronate.
Celebrate, correct?
Like, you know, crowning him a king.
That's what I figured. I'm like, it's usually not a word I see in the sports section. Okay. You think it's superior, but I was going to, even though we're going way off topic at this late hour, this has to be said. Here's part of the article. Judging from the message boards... And not being a cook on Twitter, a lot of people regarded Hauk as some sort of Messiah until the last series against Utah State. Why would a really writer use a message board or a random person on Twitter?
Who is... Wait, what?
Ron Kantowski? And he I've also never heard of it again, this guy. Then he goes, I don't know, maybe this is... I only read the first line, but I don't think why. This is satire, by any means. Because also, it says, according to not Kurt Pertstreet from Twitter as well... The Rebels could have run a draw play or something, and then use one of those timeouts to stop the clock. What is this? I'm saying you're incorrect by saying that's what they should be doing.
I am so confused.
You want the link, and you can read over it later?
No, I'm reading it right now. Good Lord. What the...
I get the point. Oh, it took them 4 years to overcome Mike Sanford did, but yeah, Mike Sanford did nothing to improve the program besides bring in
Mike Sanford
players.
Did not do anything.
And he kicked it in the butt on the way out.
And, I mean, throw in, okay, yeah, you inherited John Robinson's last team. Guess what? John Robinson was a good coach. Mike Sanford, on the other hand,
good offensive coordinator, at least Utah, well, I guess he kind of was, but.
Okay, you know what?
I just thought that was weird.
Okay, whatever.
As for the game itself, yes.
The game itself, Anthony Lacoste, Nate Romine. Kind of the opponents towards UNLV's Devontae Davis, Caleb Herring, and Tim Cornette, specifically Caleb Herring and Tim Cornette. And it's interesting how they kind of match up. I mean, through the last few games, Lacoste has been the more effective runner, but it's taken him a while to get there, whereas Tim Cornette has pretty much been fairly efficient the whole season long.
Yeah, there's a game here there it wasn't healthy, but I know what you're saying. I'm trying to pull up the odds. Do you have the line on this game at the moment?
I believe it's Air Force by one.
I think it's like something close like that. It's like the first game, so I know this is excellent stuff of us going through this way. They start off pick 'em, Air Force by two, which whatever, they're at home, they should be. There's not much to say on this game. UNLV, this is a must win because if they don't get this, well, eligibility is not likely not going to happen because they host San Diego State on the 30th.
Well, I mean, judging how San Diego State played last week.
Well. I'm just saying, more likely scenario, who are you going to trust? UNLV in a game-clinching situation that they must win?
Yeah, no, this is the game that they essentially will have to win to be maintain bowl eligibility. But at the same time, though, I mean, even if they happen to kind of derp this game up, 5 wins in a season for UNLV is pretty good. And the whole goal of this season was not to make a bowl game, but it was to essentially save Bobby Houck's job. He's done more than that.
We thought it could, because we said earlier, like, the Minnesota and Arizona loss were kind of, not that they're unexpected, but the way they lost. And then they rolled out 5 straight, the one surprise win in there. There's nothing surprising out of Central Michigan, Illinois, New Mexico, or Hawaii. Maybe a little New Mexico, a little. But losing to Fresno is fine. Losing to San Jose State, Utah State was expected. Nevada's the one game where if you rewind back to the season, prior to the season, we didn't think they'd win. You did, just because I guess you like UNLV better or whatever reason. But logically speaking, if people, you know, if I'm about comparatively speaking from the past year or two, Nevada should have won, like, favored in that game. That wasn't a game you'd expect UNLV to win.
Right.
And so we figured 5 wins would be, maybe 6 were hopeful, but I thought 5 was what they should be at, and that is where they're at. And they should beat Air Force. Air Force's defense is not very good. They get the ball run on. And if UNLV is smart, which, again, I'm not comfortable in using that phrase to all that well, but they should just run Tim Cornette and Devontae Davis all night, or probably even throw maybe more to Devontae Davis, since Air Force has also a terrible pass defense.
Yeah, and I'm fairly confident that UNLV will win tomorrow night. And, in fact, yeah, I'll go ahead and say it. They will win tomorrow night, and it's going to be about a 7-point game. On the road versus Air Force?
Yeah, I think it'll be fairly close. It'll be somewhere like a one-position game toward UNLV, so that's where I'll go with you on that as well. Moving on, non-conference game, Navy at San Jose State. 9:30 Eastern, ESPN2 gets a couple of $100,000 for the Spartans there for playing on ESPN2. Going up against a Navy team we will see in the postseason because they're going to the Armed Forces Bowl. And yet, this game, if you you know San Jose State favored only by 2 points somehow. Only 2 points.
Yeah.
It's kind of odd, isn't
honestly,
it?
Well, it is kind of odd, but at the same time, it really isn't. Navy has turned out to be a decent team this year.
Navy,
but
you mean?
San Jose, yeah, Navy. I did say Navy.
Oh, okay, sorry. I just heard you say it. Sorry. Go ahead.
But San Jose State, they really messed up their chances with kind of questionably losing to Nevada. Yeah, Nevada showed up last week, but they had no business losing that game.
Not from what we've seen all year. Nevada just hasn't been able to do what we thought they could have done or done last year.
No, exactly.
And
so,
the thing of this game, I'm leaning toward Navy because we all know how bad San Jose State's rushing defense is. It's one of the worst in the country.
Right. And despite, well, I mean, of course, San Jose State has been injured severely to the linebacking core that was so highly praised by us early in the season.
Yeah. So, still, you got to step up.
No, exactly. But I'm more on the lines with you. I'd give the edge to Navy's rushing offense versus San Jose State's rushing defense.
Well, the rushing defense isn't terrible, I should say. I'm looking right now. They give up 201, which is middle of the pack in the Mountain West. However, they've gained Minnesota 353. I think they have their extremes. That's where that probably places them. While they are low, middle of the pack, 353, 253, 332, 311 in four games this year. But then they have a game where at UNLV, they held them to 86 yards, and Hawaii, which, well, before a healthy Isafa was there, Joy Isafa, they have games where they hit and miss. And this is going to be one of the missed games where I think they're going to give up probably at least 300 on the ground.
Oh, yeah.
But then now, it's weird to see, because like you're probably going to mention, David Fells is going to light it up, right?
Well, I mean, you're talking about a passing offense that's ranked 11th in the country. And, I mean, Fails really hasn't – I mean, think about it. Grigsby's been out. Fails has had basically rely on his freshman, the kind of the joke story that I was making on earlier. But Chandler Jones has been – Chandler Jones is not a freshman, but Chandler Jones has been lighting it up. Tyler Winston, you know, even Lawson has been kind of coming out of the back receiving. But Lawson on his own as a rushing – counterpart to Fails' passing has actually been formidable. He averages 5.2 yards per carry. He just doesn't have the touchdowns to back it up.
Well, but still, you gotta do something. That's the thing, red zone, right?
Right, red zone. Red zone is the key for San Jose State.
Like we said, you let David Phelps throw a 25-yard pass every time. So, no, but what do you think is going to happen in this game? I think we're both agreeing that Navy will run the ball well. San Jose State will throw the ball well. I think if San Jose State can get Simpson involved and run better, or even, not Simpson, probably Jared Lawson. Like you said, my mistake. If you can get them in more involved, I think that probably will be the actual difference in the game.
Yeah, Navy's going to run the ball a lot.
Of course.
You know, Keenan Reynolds is going to light up.
And they'll throw a little bit. Their quarterback.
Yeah, they'll throw a little bit, but they won't throw tons.
No.
But I really think that the rushing offense and really how San Jose State performs in the red zone is going to be the biggest difference in this game. I'm going to go ahead and pick San Jose State by three.
I'm back and forth because I know Navy will throw a little bit. They have Benet Ben-Wickery back there throwing who can stop anything Keenan Reynolds is going to do. Because Keenan Reynolds, Navy quarterback, he has 19 freaking touchdowns a game for the season so far on the ground. Passing, well, I guess this doesn't count. South Alabama 10-17. I'm not sure I threw that much, but.
Well, South Alabama's division was FBS.
Yeah, but I'm wondering why they threw that many times when they blew him out. He's going to throw probably 10 times a game, complete probably six, and I don't know. I think I want to say Navy because how bad San Jose's rush defense can be. I'm going Navy's going to get the upset and win on the road.
All right.
By probably about, it'll be a close game. It'll probably be like, I don't know, 4 to 10 points.
All right, so you
upset.
Heard it.
Yes.
Jeremy's going with Navy on the upset. I'm going with San Jose State by three.
Technically an upset since San Jose State's favored by two, but yeah, Navy's going to hold San Jose State not to get a bowl game or be bowl eligible this week, and then they're not beating Fresno State, so this game comes down to if San Jose State does not win,
they're
more
in.
Than likely not going to the bowl game.
Yeah.
So Spartans better try to win, but I don't think they'll be able to do it against the Navy team. All right. Saturday, the first game, Ofer, Hawaii, but going to, was it 72-10 to Laramie, Wyoming? Does that sound right?
Yep.
And we're going to make t-shirts that say, what was our t-shirt going to say again?
Our t-shirt, what was it?
Howdy Doody or something again, of course.
Yeah, yeah, Mr. Howdy Doody lives here at 7,522 feet.
Whatever it would be. That game is on the Mountain West Network, or if you're in Hawaii, you're lucky it's a pay-per-view.
Sorry. Wait. You mean we don't get Robert Kekulau announcing the game?
Unless you pay for it.
Oh. But he's my favorite announcer.
However, the rest of us on the mainland can go to the Mountain West Network and watch it for free.
Oh.
So you can't, Chris, you can't see him.
I can't see him?
Yes.
Will he be on the Mountain West Network?
Well, I don't know if he will, but I'm saying you can watch the game if you want.
Well, no, I'm told. Yeah.
At least tune in for a little bit, because this is probably, sorry to say it, folks, but probably the least attractive game this weekend, or at least the least attractive Saturday game.
Yeah, but they play for
a lost trophy.
That's now lost. Yeah. Bonniolo Trophy. And I mentioned it last week on the podcast. And there's the article written by Matt a while back. But this is kind of a cool game. Not because the teams are any good. Not because there's actually going to be good football being played. But it's just an intriguing matchup.
I'm going Hawaii for the upset. Or, yeah, Hawaii is the upset in Wyoming right now. Wonder why?
Only if they wear those green uniforms. Only if they wear those retros like they wore last week.
Iosafa is healthy, running back, Joey Iosafa, and he's been playing well the past 2 weeks.
And Sean Schroeder hasn't looked too bad as well.
Correct. He's looked above serviceable, and we know the Wyoming weakness on their defense is rushing defense, stopping the run. And I wouldn't – okay, let's put it this way. I'm not going to be shocked if Wyoming wins because they should win.
They should win. They're at home.
They have, but we've already dissected them well enough of how poorly they've played the past 2 weeks. And I'm thinking you're right. And if Hawaii loses, if Wyoming loses, Christensen's gone.
He is out. I don't care what you say. If you lose to Hawaii this season, I mean, I'd have to, San Diego State should have lost last week. But,
yeah,
you know, Hawaii kind of Hawaii'd.
And then San Diego State kind of had a heads-up play for that. Offside, everybody stopped, and they got that deep touchdown pass.
No, but, totally.
Yeah, they lose to Hawaii. That's five in a row. Five of six, or yeah, six of seven after starting 4-1, 4-2. And they already fired their D coordinator. They've given up average 50 points the last four games. They've only scored, what, 15 a game, about 22? Well, they got 44, 22, 10, and 7, but their offense has been stopped pretty much for the last 3 or 4 weeks. You got crushed by your rival. You lose at home to a Hawaii team who's awful.
So here's the thing. Did you know that Wyoming can still make a bowl game?
Yeah, if they win the next two games.
Yeah, if they win the next two games.
Which
that might be saving Dan Christensen's job right now. But if they lose to Hawaii, if they lose to Hawaii on Saturday, there's no chance.
Is he making it to the locker room, or is he getting the Lane Kiffin treatment before you even leave the team? You're done, even though it's a home game. Because Lane Kiffin got fired at the airport.
Right, but, you know, the difference between Dave Christensen and Lane Kiffin is, you know, Lane Kiffin was just rude and arrogant and nobody liked him. Dave Christensen is on a ranty person who's vengeful, but at least he's entertaining.
Fairly likable.
And fairly likable as well. Except, you know, by Air Force personnel.
Troy Calhoun does not like him at all. They're not exchanging those Christmas cards this year. I would say if we go back to the game, because Wyoming has the talent, they should win. But I'm not trusting Wyoming anymore. Because in this game, do you know who's favored in the game?
I'm going to go ahead and say Wyoming's favored by probably about 10.
Six.
Okay, well, yeah.
Which is fine, and that makes sense.
I'll take it.
I'm going with the trends, man, even though usually you should go the opposite way. But I just, for some reason, I'm going to call for the upset. I'm not, like I said, I'm going to call for the upset. Wyoming wins, whatever, it's going to happen probably. But
I'm going to go ahead and take Wyoming on the spread.
Oh, to win as well?
Yeah, to win.
Okay, I think Hawaii, I don't know. Hawaii's been getting close. They played well versus San Diego State. And I think the difference is Wasoff and Short is playing well, and if they can play as well. I know it's a tough road game to get to, even for anybody, not let alone Hawaii. Yeah, fly into, depending what type of plane you fly, either fly into Denver, you take it's like a 90-minute, two-hour drive from Denver up to lovely Laramie, or you fly to Colorado Springs. One of those two drive up, and they're coming from Hawaii, where they stop in LAX, go to Denver, wherever, Colorado Springs, and drive up the next rest of the way. But it's a fairly early start for those in Hawaii because it's a 2 Eastern. That's noon local time. Then that's a 9 a.m. local Hawaiian time.
No, it's not. It's 11 a.m.
It is? No.
Yes.
Isn't Hawaii 2 hours behind Pacific time?
3.
Then how do you get 11?
I know. 11 a.m. start time.
9 a.m.
That's what I said. 9?
2 11. Eastern.
Noon, 2 Eastern.
Noon Mountain, 11 Pacific, 9.
Right.
Why?
8 a.m.
Whatever, it's early. That's all we'll say. It's early in the morning.
Yeah, okay, anyway.
I'm too tired to look it up, y'all. Sorry. It's an early start, so that could have an effect on them. But I'm going to Hawaii just because I don't trust anything Wyoming does anymore since they burned me after starting so greatly.
You know what? If Hawaii wears their retro uniforms of some sort of fashion again, yeah, I'll go with Hawaii to win.
But they're not.
But I know they're not. Why
so,
am I going with
so you're saying Dr. Wood no matter what?
Yeah, pretty much.
Excellent, excellent comment there. That is the way to go. So they're going to win if they wear this, but they're not wearing it, so it doesn't matter.
Listeners, stop making fun of us. We're tired.
No, all right, next game. Let's move on. This game is probably the game, I'd like to say it's the game I want to see the most, but that's not true after I read the rest of the games. This is probably the game, Colorado State at Utah State. It's 3:30 Eastern, CBS Sports Network. If you don't watch Capri Bibs, you're dumb. You should watch this game no matter what.
Wait. Hold on. I gotta go. Do. Game.
No. Oh, yes. Yes, it does. Colorado State 6-5. They need a 7th win since they played Lucky 13 to get the bowl game. And they've already achieved more than most people thought. But here's the thing. Utah State's quietly been playing probably as good as any team in the league. Right there, Fresno, Boise is what they should have been doing with Darryl Garrettson under center.
Yeah, but they almost lost to UNLV.
Okay.
I mean, you could argue that they've quietly been playing
the best
football.
Well, in Mexico, Hawaii, they smoked them. They crushed them. But yeah. UNLV is a bit better. It was at UNLV. They still have a freshman quarterback starting. I think maybe let me rephrase. I think people figured they would just fall off the map.
But I think on the other hand, you've got Colorado State, who's looked equally as good as Utah State the past few weeks.
Correct. And Capri Bibbs, who has, a million touchdowns? 482, maybe. Does that sound about right?
Was it, to quote Luke Zimmerman, what? if you were looking on Twitter, Zimmerman was giving the top five running backs. Anthony, our writer, Raffle Copter 16, basically mentioned Capri Bibbs' stats over the last five games, and Luke Zim was just like,
who? What?
What?
Okay, he's number one. Yeah, 25
complete
touchdowns.
And utter beast mode.
Yeah, 25 touchdowns, 6 yards per game, 6 yards of carry, 130 per game. And I think he had 19 touchdowns in the last five games, I think. Does that sound right?
Yep.
Something like that. Now, he had 6 touchdowns last week.
Now, Utah State does have the best linebacking core in the Mountain West. Well, no. Would you argue that, or would you argue San Diego State?
No, I would say for consistency, Utah State, talent-wise, pretty close, but I'd still give Utah State the edge.
Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see what Bibbs does against Utah State.
Because Colorado State has not played, does not, and will not play the Aztecs. Okay, he put up 312 versus Nevada, New Mexico, whatever. Boise State only 69. He's just opponent's part of the reason when he has 600 yards. But still, to get that many yards, you still have to be a good running back, a good offensive lineman.
Even the 69 yards, didn't he have a couple touchdowns on?
Yeah, 3 touchdowns.
Yeah.
Still found the end zone. Here's the thing. It's going to be him. But also, Garrett Greason, can't forget him, even though Ian is not the biggest fan of him. Our Marine friend on the other side of the world, somewhere, in secret.
You know what? I've kind of changed my mind. What I've talked about Greason, this is what we talked about in the podcast last week. He's definitely going to be a quarterback to watch out for next year, and he's definitely shaped up to be the quarterback that he probably was trying to fight for the position earlier this season.
Because here's how I could see why he had he only has 8 interceptions. I get the yardage wise because versus Tulsa, 40% to 2 interceptions. San Jose State, good game, 3 TDs, 56%, 310, 2 picks. But then if you kind of look at the last couple of games, 78% versus Hawaii, or excuse me, Wyoming, 3 score touchdowns. A touchdown in this Hawaii game, I think Hawaii game is where people really go, come on, be consistent. Because you saw 307 versus UTEP, 310 versus San Jose State, 219 versus Wyoming, respectable. Then Hawaii does that garbage. But his past 3 games, 397 versus Boise State. Yes, that game he needed to pass a lot more, but that was his best game of the year, and that's a pretty good Boise State defense. That's improved along the way. And
yeah, no, exactly.
He's kind of got better and better, and then he threw 3 touchdowns last week. And so he is the guy of the future. I think he's being more, I don't know, because his stats are kind of all over the board, but he's been better. People still go back to that Alabama game, that fumble he caused, which is a pretty big deal. But he's their guy. He's been playing much better. He's been getting the job done. And having Bibbs back there is going to only help him be better because they can't just say, we're going to attack you and bring 7 guys and single coverage on the receivers.
Right. No, exactly.
But
so
when they play Utah State, it'll be interesting what they do because...
What's the line here?
What's the line? Let's see.
Do I get to play the game?
Sure, play the game. I have it up.
All right, I'm gonna go ahead and say it's going to be... The line is Utah State by probably 4.
No, it's 9 now.
Really?
Started at 6, went up to 9.
Really?
Do they not respect Capri Bibbs?
Yeah, no.
No? I get you're playing at Utah State, which I've been there. It's not intimidating by any means. Sorry, Aggie fans.
3-point. 3-point home team advantage, so that gives them really just a 6-point advantage, but really? I would think it'd be closer.
So did I. When I first wrote that piece, I was like, what? I thought it'd be 4. I think 4 would be perfect.
Well, that's why I said 4.
Yeah, because we know what we're talking about. I guess we thought we did.
Oh, no, we think we know what we're talking about.
Oh, sure, that's the main difference. But I get why they'd be favorites, but if you look at Colorado State, like I said, they have been playing very well. The defense, Corey James, Shaq Barrett, very good. We discussed all the names last week. They have a defense that could slow down Utah State's offense, I think.
They kind of slowed down Alabama.
Yeah, they held them at 1-for-12 on third downs, I think.
Yeah.
And here's the thing, they put up 66 points against New Mexico. It's I get it's New Mexico, but come on. This game's huge for us, for Utah State. They'll want to be in this game because if they can win and Boise State loses, which is a possibility, they'll win the Mountain Division. Or
hands down, right?
Well, no, it'll come down to the week after because they end up have two losses, then it goes to Boise. But this is a game where Utah State has to be pumped. Matt Wells needs to get them ready to play because they still have a chance to win the division and face Fresno State. Because they got Wyoming the final week at home, they'll win. And Boise has New Mexico the final week, so they're going to win. And so if San Diego State can win that game, there's a chance Utah State has a very good chance to win the Mountain Division. So there's that in the line. You got Kyle Frackrell, the defense linebacker, the Vigil brothers back there. It's a game. I think 9 is way too much. I think it's going to come down to the wire, and there could be a lot of points, like at least 30 points each.
It's gone old waxing.
Not quite.
Oh, okay.
Because the line, for some reason, is only 57, which
really
seems low. Capri Mims could get 57 points by himself.
Well, and look at Utah State's offense. They can get 57 at least.
Easily. They did against, Hawaii. They put up a lot of, 47 on Hawaii. Only 20 at UNLV, but 45 in New Mexico. I just think that line's too big, and it'll just see if Utah State, here's the thing, if Utah State can figure out
Capri Bibbs.
Why do I say Capri? I don't know why I say Capri. I go back and forth.
Because it's subconsciously what you want to say. It's the same thing I want to say as well.
Okay. But if they can slow him down some, they do. We know Colorado State does have other running backs who can do okay. But if they can stop the running game and force Garrett Grayson to pass, that's how Utah State's probably going to win. Because Grayson, he's good. I don't think he's good enough to beat you in the passing game if he has to throw 50 times or something.
All right, so pick a winner.
Do I have to?
Yes. Because that's how we pick these games.
You go first. Who you pick?
I am going to go with Colorado State in the upset.
Upset. To be bowl eligible. Do your bowl sound then?
Bowl eligible.
Excellent. I'm going to... There's no weather up the weekend. I'm going to Utah State. Home team. I'm going to home team.
This is the most split we've been on.
Travis Van Leeuwen will have a big game. And so will Travis Reynolds. Because if you look at the passing game, Boise State did quite well passing the ball against Colorado State.
Yeah, but Garrett Grayson has looked better.
I know. I'm going to Utah State, so the receivers will have a big game. And I think Colorado State will cover that 9 points, but I think Utah State's going to win by maybe
2 points. Oh, yeah, Colorado State's totally going to cover. That's not the issue.
So let's move on. New Mexico, Fresno State.
Let's move on.
Next game, right?
Do we have anything to talk about?
Is there any chance? Okay. If they win, they clinch the division. Hands down,
they clinch the division, right?
Yeah, because if they here's how they don't clinch. They lose the last two games, and San Diego State wins their last two games.
No, they win, they clinch.
Yeah, even if they lose to Mexico, I think they'll beat San Jose State. So if they win this game, they either clinch with a win or a San Diego State loss. And then they host a title. Well, most likely host a title game. We'll get to that if that happens. But do you think, is there any way New Mexico can pull the upset?
No.
Do you think Casey Carrier will do something to make it possibly an upset? Watch.
I got to think about that. Because Carrier didn't really show up too much last week versus Colorado State. I mean, they scored 42 points, but
they had a punt return. Or a kick return.
Yeah. I mean, Caruso Gongbe was the one who was leading in rushing last week.
It was, because Carrier had him trying to pull up. I think he had only 60 yards or something.
Yeah, Carrier only had 60 yards. Apparently,
here's why. I didn't realize this. Maybe we should have... I should read up on this. He is actually out for the final two games of the concussion.
Well, there you go.
I will update the website later.
There's definitely way New Mexico's winning.
That's why he lost the game. Yeah, no way. And it's a... with that being the case, it's a 31-point line. Would you still take Fresno State?
Yes.
Okay. With that on line, we saw there was a... Tonight was Northern Illinois Northern Illinois and Toledo. Northern Illinois won. Jordan Lynch looked very good. Do you think... Because I don't want to say nobody watches these games on the West Coast, but they are pretty late at night. Do you think
this game's at 1 o'clock?
No, most of the games. I'm talking about big picture Heisman type deal. People see Jordan Lynch and people fall in love with the Mac because they can put up a lot of points. Do you think, because their stats are fairly comparable, kind of what they're doing for their team, both undefeated, both playing well overall, I think, passing, rushing more for Lynch. But Derek Carr is number 2 in passing per game. While Lynch is not quite up there, he's more of a running the ball. He's not in the top whatever, top 50, I think. Oh, yeah, he's number 48, but he runs the ball. Do you think them, like Northern Illinois, playing on the Wednesday night and during the day, that they'll rather, they'd watch him more than finding Derek Carr at 8 o'clock at night on the West Coast? Because there's a lot of people Lynch to New York City.
Honestly, I think it's less about that. And, I mean, yeah, people are more likely to watch. I think it's less about that, and people more just – who people who enjoy watching college football love to watch the Mac and, you know, will obviously watch Lynch.
I mean, but if they played Saturday afternoon, would you watch him as much? Like, if this game was at 4 o'clock – the first game of the day, the noon game, or that second block of games – would you people still watch Northern Illinois Toledo, even if NIU's 16th in the country?
Me, yes.
Yes, you, but well,
no.
People would rather watch. They'd rather watch Florida State. Well, that's a bad example, right?
Well, now. Yeah, and well,
but you know what I mean. Like, I even mean, watching comes, like West Virginia TCU, people would rather watch that over that game of that first or second blocker. Yeah, Texas Tech, Oklahoma State.
But this comes back to, you know, yeah, ESPN with all these weeknight games, we don't get the full crowds and everything like that. But that's how think about it. This is how Boise State survived the WAC for so many years and became BCS Busters.
Well, and this is also how when the old WAC, with their first Mountain West win, Colorado State was very good. They owned that Thursday night, CSU versus San Diego State or BYU versus Utah. Well, not Utah, but you know what I mean. Utah and BYU playing Thursday night games.
BYU, yeah. Utah. Yeah.
A lot of good teams. Exactly. TCU, BYU played Thursday night games. And then ACC came in, Big East, all that stuff. I'm just saying, as for high, because Jordan Lynch, I'm not saying he's not having a good year, but he has 35 touchdowns overall, which is amazing, rushing and passing. Derek Carr is number 2 in the country throwing the ball, and he has, well, Derek Carr is 32-4. Or do people not realize what he's doing? And there's nothing, like he's maybe 7th or 8th, but people are saying Jordan Lynch because he had these 99-yard drives. Do you think either deserve to go to New York City? Because that's all I want to talk about this game, because New Mexico is going to get worked. Or does he need like a 600 yards, 8-touchdown game?
No, I think just having a good game by Fresno State, I think they're still going to stay ahead of Northern Illinois, and Carr's just going to look just as good as Jordan Lynch.
Because this game is an afternoon game. It is on ESPN News at 4 Eastern, so it's not those late-night games. I just kind of wonder if your thoughts of weeknight games helping Lynch more than Carr playing those late games.
Oh, I totally agree. I agree with that.
All right, so let's move on. I already said that game, sorry. Final game of the night. This is the game people need to watch, I think.
Boise Except, State. You know, I can't watch it.
I'll find you a way to watch it.
You mean that doesn't involve driving down to San Diego and watching this game?
Unless, is that your plan?
No, I wanted to.
No tickets?
Well, actually, there's plenty of tickets.
Of course there are. It's Qualcomm.
it's Qualcomm, and it's San Diego State football. Oops, I mean...
It's a large stadium they can't fill because their fan base is not yet... it's just a large stadium they can't fill.
No, it's a large stadium that you can't fill. But, I mean, even when they only have 25,000 seats available, they still can't fill it because San Diego sports fans. Yeah. What? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to insult the whole culture of San Diego. No, this is... I'm going to go off topic right now.
Sure.
Because I speak as a San Diego fan. Okay? It's almost kind of a cursed culture that we live in. There's too many damn good things to do around the city of San Diego. Then watch your team if they're struggling even just a little bit. The show will always be at San Diego State. Whatever, basketball, football, whatever. Your student section will always be there. And they're very dedicated. But the people of San Diego themselves... There's too much stuff to do.
Not so much.
It's the reason why the Chargers don't sell out. It's the reason why the Padres don't sell out. And it's the reason why the Aztecs don't sell out. Except for Aztec basketball. That's always sold out.
Yeah, except for basketball. So.
So back
to the game. I'll find. I know a way I can get you to watch the game without, in the comfort of your own home. But as to the game itself, we all remember that last year. I'm pretty sure you know the play that made the difference in last year's game. Oh, special teams touchdown too. I guess there's two plays.
Yeah.
Yeah, special teams. Can we just say special teams?
Yes.
All right, so what's different this time around?
Well, wee baby Sheamus cannot make a single field goal. That is first of all. Second of all, these two teams have taken a completely different route. Boise State has started off extremely slow, but it's kind of picked up as the season has gone by, and they seem to be playing their best football as of right now. But on the other hand, San Diego State has been barely surviving their last 2 weeks. They survived against Hawaii in overtime last week, as well as surviving against New Mexico in a 35-30 game a few weeks ago. And, oh, don't forget about the win versus San Diego State or San Jose State, where they had to come back. And, of course, the wee baby Sheamus could not kick a field goal by the gun as well.
They could, yeah, Fresno State, they could have had a big win.
Folks, I apologize for my Irish accent. It's really bad tonight. Once again, late at night. I'm not clear.
It's pretty late, yeah. So, also, there, you heard the news about Joe Southwick, correct?
Yes.
Returned to practice.
Quarterback controversy again?
Not for this week.
No, definitely not for this week.
However, well, that's a lot to talk about the game. But as for the game itself, Grant Hendrick has been fine. J.J. has been fine. Basically, Boise State's been fine. San Diego State needs to make sure Adam Wayman and Donald Pumphrey actually both have a good game, I think. Because
yeah, this game is going to come down to both teams' running backs.
Tackling for Boise State? Can I go that route?
Tackling as well.
Can I say that? Because they had issues tackling.
Like they had the whole season.
Well, it was pretty evident in the Boise State and the Nevada game. Or BYU game in Nevada. So that's what I'm just saying. But do you, okay.
San Diego State's main problem is just, you know, playing up to their or down to their caliber, up to their caliber.
Whichever. They play the direction their opponent goes.
Exactly.
So
being that they're playing Boise State this week, they're probably going to play really, really good.
So do you know what the line on this game is?
I'm going to go ahead and say Boise State by 7.
You would be correct. 6.5, really, but yeah. Road favorite. We know Quinn Kaler. He's been kind of not quiet, but because here's the thing, too. San Diego State, like we mentioned, they still have technically a shot to go to the Mountain Title game, but not realistic because Fresno will win. But I wouldn't put no. I think Boise State, they've been playing well the past week. The blowout versus Wyoming, I mean, Matt Miller, besides a couple drops, looked really good. They need to get Geraldo Boulderwin more involved. But the past two games, 42 points, 48 points. Greg Hedrick's come into his groove, and I kind of think they'll keep doing that against San Diego State. Because they don't lose to teams more than once in a row from year to year.
Oh, yeah, and I told you that as well.
I'm not saying San Diego State can't win, but I just think Boise State's just playing a bit better.
No. San Diego State can totally win this game. They can totally win this game.
But I don't think they will.
Moema and Pumphrey definitely can run down those that linebacking core.
I think it'll be
especially
a game down
with the front
wire.
Seven that's injured.
But here's the thing. But last week, Hawaii, I mean, they couldn't do anything versus Hawaii. Hawaii's terrible.
Yes. And I still think it's because of the uniforms.
They're such an awe of the uniforms.
They was glorious.
But I think it'll...
How else do you expect San Diego State having that hard of time versus Wyoming? Hawaii. Sorry. I'm tired.
I don't know. They just did. Joey Asafa. He's good. He's playing much better.
Okay, so Joey Asafa, how would you compare him to J.H.I.E.?
I don't really seem to notice how he played, but he put up a decent amount of yards. He's a little bit, he's about the same size, but he's almost 250. He's more of a pounding type.
Smashing back.
A little bit, just because he's bigger than J.H.I.E., who's, what is he, like 210 maybe?
Yeah.
So I think this will be close, but I just think Boise's going to get it done. Because they're not going to lose to a team 2 years in a row. I know that doesn't bring any logical sense to the game, but I don't think that'll happen because they never have that happen to them.
Well, and, I mean, look at their opportunity. They lost.
They didn't lose. That's also.
They lost to TCU in the Poinsettia Bowl, beat TCU, and then lost to them again. It's not. Yeah, it's very difficult. It's. I can't even remember the last time Boise State lost two games in a row to the same team two progressive years.
I do.
Idaho.
Utah State, 96-97.
Okay.
Idaho was actually we discussed that a couple weeks ago, that's why.
Yeah. Idaho, I think, was past that. I think they were 97-98.
Maybe. But, yeah, it doesn't happen. I no, but even with that, they're there's a reason they're favored by a touchdown. There's a reason they're on their
Wait. Washington. 2013. No, they still – no, they beat Washington last year. Yeah, I forgot. Damn it.
So I just think Boise State's more consistent. That's probably the way I'll put it. San Diego State has the ability. We've seen them play well and not well against who they're going up against. I just think they're going to play up to Boise, but not enough to win.
Okay, so what do you think is going to be oh, also Boise State has a kicker who can make field goals.
Finally. Just letting you know, finally. Now, they'll probably like a it might come down to the kicker, I think, probably.
Now that I say that, Dan Goodale is going to miss three field goals on Saturday.
One blocked. He'll hit every post on the goalpost and miss. They'll go left, right, down, and fall out. You're not amused by that?
No, I'm not.
No, I think Boise State will win by about four. I'd say San Diego will cover, but it'll be Boise State win by a couple.
I'm going to go ahead and challenge it. I'm going to go ahead and say Boise State wins this by 10.
Ooh, double digits.
Well, I mean, it's double digits, but it's barely.
No, I know. I'm just, yeah.
And that's, you know what? That's the homer in me.
But it's not too far off.
But it's not completely far-fetched as well either, yeah.
Correct, yeah. It's, yeah, you're up by 40, whatever it would be, 10 points or whatever, but... That's all I got for tonight. Sorry for the probably slow talking of the show because it's getting late. Is there anything else we need to discuss about football at all? The title, we already talked about title game scenario, essentially, pretty much.
We've talked about teams that could become bowl eligible.
And our new theme song.
Which will be
I will play at the end as well. I'll play it again right now.
Oh, my
I'll
God.
I'll make sure it's going. We don't hear it now, of course, but I'll go into post-production and add in the awesome that is...
I really hate myself.
It's good. I don't know if it's better than the other one, but it's not any worse. Is that a good thing to say?
I think it is worse. I totally think it's worse.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll let the people decide. Let us know in the comments. Let us know on Twitter, Facebook, and MWC Connection for both of those. And, yeah, check the website, MWCConnection.com, and enjoy your three straight days of Mountain West football going on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.